Welcome to part 22 of Scotland's ain kingly hooses. In this, the Hindmaid's part, we hear how Scotland tint her free stonin' kingship. Hoose of the Stuart, Hordingon. Queen Anne, 1702 to 1714. Anne was born on the 6th of February, 1665, at St. James's Palace, Lunnon, and was the second daughter of Prince James and Anne Hyde. From July 1681 until May 1682, Anne bade in Scotland with her father James. It was the in time that she set foot in Scotland and had ony skill of the kintra and her folk. On the 28th of July 1683, she was married out the King's Chapel at St. James's Palace in Lunnon on George Oddenburg of Denmark. George had been born about the 2nd of April 1653 at Copenhagen and was the son of Frederick III of Denmark-Norway and Sophie Guelph. After Anne's father, James, fled to France in 1688, the crown of Scotland was given to Anne's sister Mary and her man Willem. And yince Willem died in March 1702, Anne became queen in turn. Though she had been to Scotland and was a Stuart, Anne declared in becoming queen that her heart was Southron through and through. Which she kent or cared for Scotland was nae worth a preen, but her time on the throne would change Scotland for aye. Even after 100 years of giant kingships, England and Scotland was twa societies apart. The merchant class of Scotland was heir to eastwards at traditional partners in the Netherlands, France and Scandinavia. At hame, kinship made it muckle. The feud had maistly gained way to the court of law in the Lowlands, but the Erim clan or kin was weel stelt in northeast and Hieland Erts. Through the 1690s, Parliament stent at Herths and Heads for to pay the Army and Navy. Meld wi' reports for the Kirk, anent provision for parochs and skills. Thir hearth and poll tax papers has gien historians a good idea of who mony folk was in the kintra. To the west and north there were about 300,000 speakers of Gaelic, while in the lave of the kintra, to the south and east, there were about 700,000 speakers of Scots. In the far north, in Shetland, though Scots was kent, Norn was yet spoken. Altogether, historians do lose just over 1 million folk bade in Scotland by 1700. A body canny help but feel for Queen Anne. She got bookit at least 17 times, and 12 times she miscarried or had deed born bairns. Anne and George had a bairn at 1 hour, cried Prince Willem, born on the 24th July 1689. He was the hope of the family, but on the 30th July 1700 he died, aged 11. Queen Anne herself was nae weel. In particular, she had to thole gout and often had to be carried about in a sedan chair, as she was when she was taken to be crowned at Westminster Abbey on the 23rd April 1702. And because she couldna get going about, the Queen grew brosy and fat. In 1702, England, along with Austria and the United Netherlands, gaed to weir again France and Spain. The weir that Scotland was sookit in did muckle skaith to Scots' tread, but the Queen lippin' on her Ingalls ministers and the Duke of Marlborough that was Captain General of her armies. Ingalls ministers was feared that the King be richta primogenitor, meaning the eldest son of the eldest line, would claim back the thrones of England and Scotland. This was James Stuart, born in 1688, and reared in France as a Catholic. In 1701, he was proclaimed the richt of king by the Jacobites as James the Echt. Now that Queen Anne's a bairn had died, the Ingalls ministers set about breaking the law of primogeniture in 1702 by putting through an act making Anne's German Protestant cousin, Sophie, the apparent heir to de Bore James Stuart. but they never fashed themselves to spear at Scotland. When the Scots Parliament gathered in 1703, many of the members was black affronted at England's cheek. The Kintraperty, heed it be James, Duke of Hamilton, New Ward the Court Party, heed it be the Queen's Heath Commissioner, James Douglas, Duke of Queensbury. Afore they would vote Scylla for the Weir Again France, they asked at the Queen to saddle the matter of the heirship to Scotland's Croon. In August 1703, the Scots passed an Act of Security that stated, "Nae body could hoard the Croon of Scots that held the Croon of England, unless matters outstanding atween the baith kintras was addressed." Anne's ministers in London took a flag at the thochty Scotland bringing James the Echt Hour and making common cause with the French. It became their policy to yoke Scotland to England and ding her doon as a free stonin' state, contrary Ingalls policy. In 1705, the Ingalls passed their Ain Act, threatening to ban Scots imports and stop Scots from inheriting lands in England, unless they agreed to hod talks to yoke the twa Kinrocks. James, Duke of Hamilton, a slithery and sleekit geo, new played twa games. In public, uphod in Scotland, but in headlands, working with England in the interest of his lands and gear thereawar. He made sure Queen Anne got to appoint the Scots that would negotiate with England, appoint it on the say of her Ingalls ministers. Between April and July 1706, a treaty was hammered out in London, the hindmost terms agreed on the 22nd July. The Scots Parliament gathered and debated the treaty between October 1706 and January 1707. And yins the terms was kent, it steered a stushy in all the airts. Mobs set about unionist hooses in Edinburgh. There were riots in a hantle toons. And ilka petition sent in anent the treaty was agin it. Ministers of the Kirk preached agin a union on the grounds that it would bring back the bishops. But in the November, to get the ministers to hod their weesht, an act was put through that the Kirk of Scotland would bide the established Kirk after the Union. For shuddering per England's national debt, Scotland was to be paid £398,085.10. The Ingalls cried this the equivalent, and it was partly to be used to pay Scots merchants and investors that had tint Scylla through Darien. In actual fact, the Scots would be charged mere tax on beer, wine and spirits after the Union to pay their Scylla back to the Ingalls chaker. Nobles and others that held office, that swithered about the treaty, had their loofs creased to mak their minds up. But been often, it was threats of weir that Gart members vote for the treaty. Maist didnae jaloose Scotland could see aff an Ingalls invasion, and thocht it better go to get terms. Just to be sure, twa armies stood by to invade Scotland from Northumberland and Ulster. Affin wrangly termed the Act of Union, a union that refers to Ireland in 1800 and no to Scotland of all. The Treaty of Union was ratified by the Scots Parliament on 16th of January and by the Ingalls on the 6th of March 1707. Scunnot all together, it is said that Andrew Fletcher of Saltoun declared that Scotland was fit now for naebody but the slaves that had sold it. On the 1st of May 1707, Scotland and England was joined under the name of the United Kinrock of Great Britain. Queen Anne was unca joco at the passing of the treaty. Instead of about 230 members sitting in an Edinburgh Parliament, Scotland now had 45 men among 550 in England's House of Commons, and 16 peers among 154 in England's House of Lords. In all but name, England's Parliament and politics would hod gone. In March 1708, King James the Echt, the Jacobite king, cried the All Pretender by the Unionists, attempted to land in Scotland for France, and a wheen lairds in Stirlingshire, heed it with James Stirling of Keir, came out on his behalf. but ships of England's navy chased him. At the same time, an act was going ben the London Parliament for establishing a militia in Scotland, but Queen Anne was fricht at the news of her half-brither, and vetoed the act on the grounds that the soldiers listed micht join the Jacobites. Though in the same year, the Privy Council of Scotland was abolished through the fault of the Scots nobles fechting among themselves. And the treason law of England was broached in Scotland, both contrary the spirit of the Treaty of 1707. Scotland was meant to keep her own laws, while the treaty stated that nae court in England could change the sentence of a Scotian. But the House of Lords now started taking appeals for Scotland. In 1712, Westminster broached in Kirk patronage again, giving the right to lairds and other heritors to present ministers. The Kirk of Scotland had sold its soul for nothing and would break apart over the head of this matter in 1843. Hurt scoddit at the failings of the treaty. All the Scots members in the House of Lords took the rue and put forward a motion to end the union in 1713, but was defeated with a handful of votes. Queen Anne took a shock on the 30th July 1714 and tint her poor a speech. She died on the 1st August at Kensington Palace, London, at the age of 49. Her man, Prince George, had died afore her on the 28th October 1708 at the same palace. Scotland's kingship had ended in the body of Brodie Ingalls' wifey. The King's Over the Water. In 1714, the ministers of England inbroached a German usurper, cried George of Hanover, to be their king, and hawed James Stuart out. In Scotland, among the Jacobites, Hanover was dismissed as the wee German lairdie. John Erskine, Earl of Mar, had sook it up with the London regime, but found them cauldriff to his ambition. Instead, he gave over to James the Echt and started a rising in Scotland on his behalf in September 1715. Kent as Bob and John, Mar was nae leader, and though he met the Hanover army under John Campbell, Duke of Argyll, at the Fecht of the Shiramuir on 13th November 1715, neither side had the hour hon. James the Echt landed at Peterhead on the 22nd December, but took no wheel. He and the Marion swithered and left Scotland for Montrose on the 4th of February 1716. In the summer of 1719, Spain gied up hod till another Jacobite ettle on Scotland, but hit was defeat at the Fecht of Glenshiel. Campbell of Argyll and his brother Archibald Campbell of Islay, signed Duke of Sale, ruled over Scotland on behalf of London, bringing Obdi that Maitert into their political girth through their hoard over offices, pensions and positions. It wasn't until the summer of 1745 that James the Echt sent over his son Cheryl Stuart, Kent as Bony Prince Cherley, to try and tack the crown against Mare. For Moni, the Stuarts over the water had aye been the richt for heirs. With a small army of Jacobite clans, Cheryl Stuart blutter the Hanover army under Sir John Cope at the Pans and took Embra in September 1745. He set up court at Holyrood House and signed proclaimed his father James as king, and the union with England ended. By December, Cheryl's had gained the length of Derby in England, but folk thereawa was Lew Warham, and he decided to head back to Scotland. On 17th January 1746, Cheryl's gave the Hanovers under General Hawley another sair defeat at the Falkirk, but now London had gathered its mocht, both for England and for soldiers broached hame for continental wares. On 16th April 1746, the Jacobites was defeated with an army under Whelam Duke of Cumberland at Culloden Muir by an Inverness. Cumberland slaughtered Jacobite soldiers left hurt on the field. And as men did they fash themselves ower muckle about what houses to burn or folk to kill. For this reason, he is aye been kent as the Butcher. As to Cheryl Stewart, he took to the heather and signed to France, where he died in 1788. The hind maist of the Stuarts, his brother Hendry, died in 1807. At the hinner end, nane of the Stuarts over the water was worthy of the lealty that Simony in Scotland had gained them. For the second time in a hundred year, Scotland had to throw Ingall's usurpation. To be sure, the conquestors knew gaed under the name of British, and there were Scots aneuch to work with them, as in Cromwell's time. But Lunnon ministers, the Ingalls in the Parliament, in Southron opinion, called this a Scots rising, and toured all Scots as Jacobites. A new hatred of Scotland, her cultures and folk, that historians has cried Scotophobia, new grip of England. The Hielands was pacified, and soldiers and forts steed about the Kintra to disarm and daunting the clans. Fort George, big at a lang for Inverness between 1748 and 1769, was the biggest of its kind. It never loused a shot in anger, because Scotland was new a conquest in this Jasket land.